going to deeply thank collaborators and colleagues and friends and co-participants in this project, some of whom are with us today. Obviously, Elizabeth Brown, a colleague from Family Medicine, also Tina Holt from Maine Medical Center, who's seated in the front row. And also we had a wonderful group of community collaborators and participants, as well as Dr. Fogarty, also at Family Medicine at the University of Rochester. So, just by way of kind of framing why we're interested in this issue and why the context of this problem is important to us, as clinicians and probably as people that are kind of just reading about what's going on in Somalia in the paper and in the world, we know that pregnancy in general has a higher risk in Somalia for lots of different reasons. Obviously, the higher risk of maternal mortality and fetal mortality is really well documented, but there are also notable contrasts, of course, in access to care and hospital-based care or lack thereof for women giving birth in Somalia. We know that before the war broke out in Somalia in 1990 to 1991, the pre-war health system was a kind of a mix of both Western and traditional approaches. And when the war began and there was mass exodus to refugee camps, many women, if they received care at all, was a crisis care type of situation. Although there is some prenatal care that's provided in some of the refugee camps, but that's kind of not the norm for the vast majority of women. And also some of our clinical experience and as well as anecdotal and some experience in the literature from reading the literature has taught us that Somalis in the U.S. but also in other countries in which they've resettled have experienced various forms of language, culture, and sometimes medical conflict in the U.S. system with various aspects of their care, ranging from lack of complete information to actually examples of outright systematic bias, prejudice, or racism in how they were treated. Here's just a brief map comparing Somalia and, lo and behold, Western New York, where we are in Rochester, to orient us to the corners of the world we're interested in this presentation. Our goal in the talk that we have for this evening is to share with you some of the results of a study that we did that looked to explore Somali women's attitudes and beliefs about cesarean section, about obstetrical interventions, and in particular, we were interested in focusing on potential sources of resistance to obstetrical interventions and cesarean section. I should say that this project was part of a larger qualitative study in which we looked at women's health beliefs around other aspects of women's health preventive services, cancer screening, so forth. So we're reporting on a subsection of the larger project that we did interviewing in some of those other areas as well. So for our methods, this was a qualitative project. We interviewed 34 adult Somali women in Rochester, New York. We conducted in-depth audio-recorded interviews that were basically we received, we recruited this study and participants for the study in a variety of different ways, primarily key informants, through use of key informants and word of mouth, also through primary care referrals, through primary care physicians who were known to care for large numbers of Somali women in the snowball technique from there. We used all female interpreters for the study, although we had two professional and two lay female interpreters. And a professional interpreter reviewed our audio recordings and transcripts of all the lay interpreters to check for accuracy in translation and also in the transcript itself. We did two phases of analysis for this project. We used a multidisciplinary team and worked from a grounded theory approach to the analysis. We initially systematically coded all transcripts by three coders. We used throughout the analysis project six Somalis as key informants, and they kind of informed all phases of this project from the beginning, the inception of the idea, through to the development of the questions, and then were involved in the analysis as well. At the end of the initial analysis, we conducted a focus group consisting of a range of purposively chosen sample of participants to check the validity of our themes and framework that we had at that point. And then for this work, when we focused on the birth experiences and the obstetrical data that we were interested in for this portion of the analysis, we did a second analysis where we coded the transcripts again by three individuals looking specifically at that data, compared with the prior schemas that had been developed in the initial analysis, and then convened a second focus group of women to check the validity of the themes that had emerged for specifically for this data. For our participant characteristics, we, as I mentioned before, had 34 women participate in the study. The average age was 27, with a range of 18 to 53. We had a mix of both Somali Bantu and non-Bantu Somali women. We can discuss later a little bit of difference if time permits. I mean, what that means in terms of the ethnic distribution of the participants. Only about 13% of our Somali Bantu participants had any education, as opposed to 79% of our non-Somali Bantu participants who had any education. And then, as you can see, the vast majority of Somali Bantu women used an interpreter for this study, as opposed to 53% of the non-Bantu Somali. And I'm going to let Dr. Brown take us through some of the results.
So as we're talking about the results here, there will be some quotes from the qualitative research, and they are going to be in yellow on the screen, and I'm going to just ask that you read them to yourselves. I won't be reading them out loud, but that's how you're going to know it's time to read. So we looked at their U.S. experiences, and one of the themes that came out was that women were frustrated with obstetrical interventions. They were frustrated that they thought that U.S. doctors tried to rush labor along and then wanted to induce labor when they were more comfortable just letting it happen on their own. And they also felt that C-section was recommended for prolonged labor very, very soon into the process. They were used to 3 days into labor having a C-section, and we want to do it 3 hours. One of the things that Somali women did, they'd try to delay entry to the hospital. They would wait either if they were in labor until their membranes ruptured or they felt the labor was really strong. And they also wanted to wait the entire length of their pregnancy before having labor. So they felt, some of them felt specifically, that 42, 43, 44 weeks was an appropriate length of gestation, and they didn't want to be induced. So seven specifically said they were opposed to induction. And one woman even mentioned that she changed her LMP date, so if she told the doc when her LMP was, her EDC would be 2 months in advance, and so she'd have a little leeway so they wouldn't try to induce her early.
Tell us what the
end was. Oh, I'm sorry. Last menstrual period and her waiting until her estimated until it was time for her to deliver when her due date would be. We also asked them about religion, and 8 women felt that their belief in God really affected the decisions they made for obstetrical interventions. 7 specifically mentioned that if they had a C-section, that represented to them that they didn't wait for God to actually help them have this baby. We asked them about aversion to interventions. There were 25 women that did not want to have a C-section. That was evenly distributed among our Somali Bantu and non-Bantu Somali women, and also women who had been resettled from a range of 2 months into 10 years. 22 participants of that 25 said they were specifically afraid of C-section, and 14 women believed that people died from cesarean sections. So other specific fears that they mentioned of cesarean section was they were afraid that they would never be able to get pregnant again, or that they'd be unable to care for their families or have disability that persisted beyond the typical time after delivery. So if you looked at our study, we had a large, robust sample of women from a variety of different resettlement periods, ages, and both Somali Bantu and non-Bantu Somali. We had several key informants that were very much involved in this study and were present through all stages from development to analysis. And we also had a very clear analysis process that we used. As far as our limitations, our interviewers were healthcare professionals. And they were well-respected professionals in the community. There was also some self-referral bias. If women did not want to talk about their past experiences, they likely would not have agreed to come do an interview. And as Dr. Carroll mentioned, this was part of a larger study on Somali women's beliefs, and so the questions primarily were not focused on obstetric interventions for the whole study. We look at our conclusions. Somali women, among all ages, resettlement times, all had common concerns about C-sections and obstetric interventions. And specific things were that the fear of cesarean sections because of fear of death, and also that they didn't want to be rushed in their decisions about obstetrical interventions. So there's so many different areas of study that we could go from here. Whether it's the sources of fears, if educational level has some sort of implication, and also looking further as women who were in resettlement refugee camps longer or resettled at different times in the U.S. could have different perspectives. And then looking for what kind of programs that we can do to help some of these fears to help work with the health system in Somalis to help make their healthcare experiences, specifically their obstetrical experiences, better. Again, we're listing our community collaborators and also people that worked with us on the study itself and our funding. And thank you very much.